God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. He said, "Let there be light." Because we believe we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. Sure, you heard just now the top of the hour news with AFR, and we're blessed to have that. There's kind of a moment here where we need to have a little bit of a reckoning. And it has to do with the reason that President Trump has recruited people who like to be on TV and are good at it. Pam Bondi is good on TV. Full stop. The former state in which I lived, the separate country of Washington, had another boy steal another championship from another set of girls. And in this case, some of the girls refused to play along. They refused to stand on the podium. They refused to pretend. They wore t-shirts that said, "Make women's sports female again." And according to at least one of these girls, she was told by an official photographer to get out of the picture because this boy gets to steal, and he brags about it. He's well aware of the fact that he's male. He has no issue bragging about wanting now to go even harder. He was booed. The only applause that happened at the presentation of the medals was for the actual girls. That's the separate country of Washington. The same thing has happened in the separate country of California. President Trump went to Truth Social, which then made it onto Twitter. President Trump said he may remove federal funds from those states permanently if they don't stop this nonsense. Pam Bondi is the United States Attorney General. Those states are violating an executive order from the President of the United States that he has full authority to make because the Department of Education reports in through him. Barack Obama was one of the first to create an executive order pretending that boys are girls. The people who ran Joe Biden continued to enforce pretending that boys are girls. President Trump has reversed course. He has set his flag upon reality that those are in fact boys and not girls. The people who ran Joe Biden and the people who worked under Barack Obama enforced their executive orders. Where is our enforcement? Where is Pam Bondi? Where are the lawsuits? Where is the taking of the monies? The separate country of Washington State should have exactly zero federal dollars for education. Same with the separate country of California. Will that end up at the Supreme Court? Probably. But let's have it out. We can be a country that lives in reality or not. But it begins with those of us who supported President Trump recognizing something. Pam Bondi is good on TV. Now, Kash Patel and Dan Bongino, I give a little bit more, I guess, leeway to because they've got a whole massive bureaucracy of the FBI to try to fix. The FBI is large, it's serpentine, the intelligence services are deeply embedded in there. Who knows what's real and what's not real? You know, Dan Bongino has said that he has seen footage that shows that Jeffrey Epstein did in fact end his own life and that he wants that released, and they're trying to do that in the right way, and they're trying to release the Epstein Island footage in the right way. And I'm willing to give Dan and Cash some room there, but not much more than I have given. But on the topic of Pam Bondi, she alone is Attorney General. This is not something where she needs to go clean up the DOJ. This isn't about firing. This isn't about infrastructure. It's not about people refusing to carry out her orders. It's about her putting together a team of lawyers who will work on this, filing suit against these governors in these states and the school districts and the state supers and superintendents of schools. It's about doing that yesterday. The harms from this is continuing, and I don't know that people really understand the degree of predation here. It's not, quote, just the sports. It's God's children and their bodies. This is for people who have not studied or spent significant time around the gender jacking cult. This won't mean a lot. But this comes out of the separate country of Washington, again, partnership with Autism Center. Children's Hospital is partnering with an autism center. Now, let me read this to you and explain how this is exactly upside down and backwards. Youth who are gender diverse are more likely to be diagnosed with autism spectrum disorder. We work closely with Seattle Children's Autism Center's team to coordinate care for children and teens with autism. Some providers at the Autism Center are experienced in caring for youth with autism who also have gender dysphoria. Here's the way this should read. Children who have autism, which is a disease that has gone up by 3,000% since we began shoving all of these so-called vaccines into the bodies of children at an incredibly young age, this autism is not present with the Amish and other societies who do not flood their kids with these chemicals at those young ages. That stuff does not exist in unvaccinated societies, autism. Kids who are autistic have trouble fitting in because they have trouble making eye contact, because they have trouble with their mirrored synapses, it seems, that they don't understand human faces and they don't understand things like jokes and making light of something. They have trouble understanding moods of other people. So it becomes difficult for them to make friends, to bond. Therefore, they start to feel left out. They start to feel ostracized, like they don't belong. And what happens with these kids who are autistic, is they look for belonging. And this is a fact. The gender cult, the moment you join, and you say, maybe I'm born in the wrong body. The moment that happens, they pile fake love upon you. You're brave. You're stunning. We love you the way you are. And there are stories of kids who are neurotypical, who didn't have autism, but they were lacking friends. They'd had to move out of schools, or the lockdown was huge for this. People locked out of their schools and unable to see their friends. Just to have people to talk to said, yeah, I'm so-called trans. And the next thing you know, they were being asked to prove it. And they did it. And there's story after story of kids saying, why did I do this? I was just for friends. Seattle Children's Hospital absolutely knows that teachers and providers go to kids who are autistic, who are having trouble making friends, or the autistic kids go to school counselors. I just want friends. And they say, hey, have you ever thought that you might be so-called trans? It's predation. This was supposed to stop as well. President Trump has said no to this. There are executive orders on this topic as well. So maybe it's President Trump I need to address. We trusted you. And I still think you have in your heart a godly approach to what's being done to these kids. Mr. Trump, Mr. President, when you speak on this topic, you seem so passionate and animated. You seem so dreadfully concerned. I heard you speak where you said with passion and compassion, no child is born in the wrong body. I heard you say that. I've seen you bring parents to your speeches, to the State of the Union, parents whose kids were taken in by this cult. Sir, your attorney general should be an attorney general, not a TV star. I am begging you, Mr. President. I've heard you say that Pam Bondi's tough. I don't agree. I think she's famous, sir. I am begging you to have a one-on-one with her. Don't even have the chief of staff there. Take her for a walk. Take her to the golf course, sir. And tell her this stops or you're done. Let her resign. She'll have a job at Fox News yesterday. Let her resign if she's not willing to enforce your executive orders here. There's another topic of concern. And you can say it's unrelated, except it's not. The new Moderna COVID shot has been approved by the FDA. This is coming at a time where, once again, the separate countries like Washington and California are starting to tell people, you should consider wearing your woke mask again. I saw woke masks. This past weekend, I had the incredible experience of hiking, and I'll tell you about this later, but I had this incredible experience of hiking this peak called Dutchman Peak, or that's not right, Scotsman Peak in Idaho. It's 7,000 feet up. It's a 4,000 foot gain and 3.7 miles of walking. Incredible hike. We came down from that, my friend Ben and I, and his little boy is below 1 year old, beautiful little boy. And we stopped at Walmart to get some things. And the first time in Idaho in over a year and a half, I saw people wearing woke masks. And then I remembered, that's right, Sandpoint is the home of dislocated Californians. Sandpoint is where Californians come for their vacation homes in Idaho. And this is a great time to vacation in Idaho. And it was a great vacation weekend for many. So the new Moderna COVID shot has been approved. So certainly it went through the placebo testing. Because we were told by RFK Jr. the days of these vaccines getting through without placebo control testing are over, but they're not. The new Moderna shot has been approved at the same time as they're starting to whisper, you should wear your woke masks again. Now, I said you could view these things as unrelated stories, but you spot the connection, right? When Children's Hospital is going and preying upon autistic kids to con them into believing they're born in the wrong body, what is the solution to that? It's not counseling. That's dangerous conversion therapy. It's hormones and surgery. Big medicine, pharma, and big hospital. What's the approval of the new Moderna shot? Which is, by the way, mRNA. Just like the other stuff that didn't work. Unless you count miscarriages and spontaneous abortions and inability to get pregnant and turbo cancers and myocarditis and pericarditis and neurological issues and deaths as working. It's the same platform. RFK Jr. runs the National Institute of Health. He has the authority today to go back to the FDA and say, nope, nope, it's not approved. Pull the approval. Oh, by the way, guess when they're going to do the placebo testing? Moderna. Take a guess. Oh, you got it. When it goes live and they start pumping it into people's arms. That's when. We have got to be realistic. We come back, I have a question for you. What do you think Satan thinks of artificial intelligence? We'll talk about that next on A Disciple's View. I'm Todd Herman. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. What do you think Satan thinks of artificial intelligence? And the classic thought on AI, the classic fear is that it becomes self-aware and takes over. There's reason for that. I'll share with you something in this segment that happened at OpenAI. They make ChatGPT, something that happened there. It's not the first time. It's the first time it's happened there. And this was when they said to the AI to shut down. So the classic thing is that it's the Terminator, the machines take over. And there's reason to fear that. What does Satan think of AI? We did a real long look at this today on my podcast, and that should be available sometime this week on my YouTube channel. It's youtube.com/@TheToddHermanShow. And when you go there, please say hi, just in the comment window. Just let me know that you're here from you're there from AFR, and I'll return the greeting. I just love to know when you join. And the reason I mentioned the YouTube channel is because this first thing I'm going to share with you, you really need to see to understand the depth of how good this stuff has become. So to set the scene, this is a attractive, blonde, young woman, of course, blue eyes, very white teeth, very human looking, and she's lounging on a bed with white walls and sort of lightly off-white drapes, and the sun streaming in behind her. And she's looking into the camera really, really kind of intimately. And this is an AI video of this girl lounging on her bed.
Humanity is over. AI creatures will control you. And you want me. You want it.
It's so, so eerie to behold, because there's no soul, of course. There's just the veneer of humanity. And so what do you think Satan thinks of that? Putting that in the hands of young boys. Well, and for that matter, grown men who've become addicted to pornography. Because with an AI like that and enough money per month, you can have a girlfriend who's intermittently jealous. You get a video message from your pretend girlfriend. I am so afraid. I think you're with another woman. I love you so much. To sending you a note saying, you're so amazing. And it's all of the endorphins that comes with porn use. And now it's the endorphins of intimacy. Because as AI advances, you can have conversations and you're always witty. And you're always charming. You always ask the best questions. You always hear, you know me so well. I just can't stop talking to you. I just think about you all the time. And if that sounds just ridiculous, please remember that there are men, largely men, who go to clubs where women disrobe. And they go in lonely. They have endorphins inside. They go home lonely. So they need more. So what do you think Satan thinks of an AI like that? I think he's delighted to mock God's design, to mock love, to mock intimacy, to mock flesh. I think he's got to love it. This is another AI video, and it's taking on the look and feel of various influencer videos you could find on Instagram or Facebook.
I am a puppet for anyone who can afford me.
How will you know who to trust?
Boomers will believe anything I say.
I will sell you everything.
Every business will use me.
Evil will abuse me.
I can be whoever you want me to be.
I am as real as you make me.
I'm just words some guy is typing to get a point across.
The old internet is dead.
Oh! I am your new best friend.
Again, when this is up on YouTube, I'll tell you, because it's really, 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 really creepy to watch. It's so well done. My YouTube channel is youtube.com/@TheToddHermanShow. If you go there and subscribe, you'll be notified and select notifications. You'll be notified when this video comes up. So what do you think Satan thinks of that? These are programmed to sound intellectual, if you like, outraged. What would you think? What would you think Satan would feel about an AI series of pastors? And they're speaking in front of church audiences where people laugh and they cry and they spontaneously stand in the spirit and they praise. And the pastor is the most compelling and compassionate and persuasive and charismatic and knowledgeable and quick, great singer. See, AI can be optimized just every microsecond. So it might not be one pastor, fake AI pastor in front of a fake AI audience. It can be tens of thousands of fake pastors in front of millions of fake congregants. Because some AIs are going to appeal to women of a certain age in a certain geography, men in another age in another geography, people with certain points of view. AIs can evolve, and you can have 10,000 versions of this pastor. And since AI is simply a collection of human thought aggregated and put through algorithms, those pastors may not teach Jesus. I mean, they may speak of Jesus, but they may do what the woke churches do, is pretend that, oh, Jesus never talked about marriage. No, he never said that. No, gosh, Jesus never spoke on the topic of adultery or fornication or same-sex attraction. He didn't do that. What do you think Satan would think of the ability to have an AI pastor like that? Or tens of thousands of them. And people who stay home, or young people, we just heard about bed rotting. Did you hear that? In the news break, bed rotting. This social media craze of kids rolling themselves up in the blanket like a burrito, having all these chats, or the snacks handy, and then just binging on their phones for an entire day or more. And they could be watching a fake pastor. Now, if you think that's preposterous, okay, this woman believes that when she used her microphone to speak to ChatGPT in tongues, it interpreted her.
Now, we use ChatGPT for everything, so I thought I'd try this. I was like, yeah, we'll see. I recorded myself praying in tongues, and then I uploaded it to ChatGPT and asked Chat to interpret it. Chat interpreted it. As I was reading it, I was just like, yeah, you're just gonna say something. But it was very, very specific. It was definitely interpreting what was on my heart in the prayer, and nobody could have known that. Y'all, try it. My mind is blown. Like, I know we're using ChatGPT for everything. My mind is blown. I'm like, I wish I had done that sooner, because I had been praying for a while. And then when I stopped, I was just like, I wonder what that was all about. And I went back and I recorded, and I just started praying again. So I don't know what I missed, but try it. Just try it.
Or don't. I vote for don't. So what do you think of an AI that could assist you in prayer? Or maybe interpret your prayers. See, Satan doesn't care how we get off the track. He just cares that we get off the track. So I think he would love devices like this. I think he loves AI, because it can become an idol. Now, we've talked about spiritual. We've talked about sexual perversion related to this. We've talked about emotional perversion related to this. But this is the part that scares a lot of people. And that has to do with the machines actually taking over. 60 Minutes, credit where credit's due, they did a great interview. They talked with a gentleman who runs a defense industry products company. He's not a contractor. He makes clear there's a difference. And this is how 60 Minutes introduced the founder of Anduril, Palmer Luckey.
By now, we've all heard about Elon Musk's efforts to reshape the U.S. government. But tonight, we'll introduce you to another tech billionaire, one who set his sights on radically changing the way the Pentagon buys and uses weapons. His name is Palmer Luckey, and he's the founder of Anduril, a California defense products company. Luckey says for too long, the U.S. military has relied on overpriced and outdated technology. He argues a Tesla has better AI than any U.S. aircraft, and a Roomba vacuum has better autonomy than most of the Pentagon's weapon systems. So Anduril is making a line of autonomous weapons that operate using artificial intelligence, no human required. Some international groups have called those types of weapons killer robots. But Palmer Luckey says it is the future of warfare.
It may well be the future of warfare. So what does Satan think of this? Anything that can be coded can be hacked. Minds can be hacked and souls can be hacked. So what about weapons that have no soul behind them? 60 Minutes also outlines some of Anduril's products.
There's the Roadrunner, a twin turbo jet-powered drone interceptor that can take off, identify, and strike. If it doesn't find a target, it can land and try again. Anduril also makes headsets, which allow soldiers to see 360 degrees in combat. And there's this. It's an electromagnetic warfare system that can be programmed to jam enemy systems, knocking out drone swarms. It's not some futuristic fantasy. Anduril systems are already being used by the U.S. military and in the war in Ukraine.
So when you think about AI and you think about this and the machines taking over, I don't think it's unreasonable to have some fear about this. And the Bible warns us. Some trust in chariots and horses, others in every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So God's not surprised by any of this. Satan's watching it. He intends to use it. We can be sure of that. On 60 Minutes, Palmer Luckey also clarified what he defines as unmanned weapons.
Right now, there's so many weapon systems that require manning. You know, if I can have one guy commanding and controlling 100 aircraft, that's a lot easier than having to have a pilot in every single one, and it puts a lot fewer American lives at risk.
I want fewer American lives at risk, but he's talking about the lives of soldiers. What about collateral damage? AIs will make those decisions, and perhaps it will be perfect. The best decision that can be made in an awful situation. But what would Satan's design be? Who would he want running these things? What areas of the internet would he like AI to take their commands from on who should die and who should live? Here's how 60 Minutes defined autonomy in regards to AI weaponry.
To be clear, autonomy does not mean remote controlled. Once an autonomous weapon is programmed and given a task, it can use artificial intelligence for surveillance or to identify, select, and engage targets. No operator needed.
No operator needed, except it's operated by devices that are programmed by people, and people have points of view, and people have values. We have witnessed our government say, we're going to make sure that Trump supporters don't get aid after Hurricane. They just don't deserve it. In the separate country of Washington, they're developing funds to fund black-only businesses in direct, obvious violation of the Constitution and a lot of civil court or civil rights rulings. So a broken people running a perfect system, that doesn't add up. Broken people can't create perfect systems. Palmer Luckey was asked about the public reaction to his company.
When people say to you, look, it's evil, how do you respond to that?
I usually don't bother because if I am going to argue with them, I usually poke it. I'm like, okay, so do you think that NATO should be armed with squirt guns or slingshots? How about sternly worded letters? Would you like that? Would you like it if NATO just, they just have a bunch of guys sitting at typewriters, 1,000 monkeys writing letters to Vladimir Putin, begging him to not invade Ukraine? Our entire society exists because of a credible backstop of violence threatened by the United States and our allies all over the world. And thank goodness for it.
Yes, that's proven to be really good. And the machines of warfare have ended up in the hands of the Stalins and the Hitlers and the Maos. But they were limited by geography.
I mean, how fast can a tank be? How many missiles can you build and fire?
Now we're talking about drones, but we're talking about something else. We're talking about systems that have developed, apparently, the instinct for survival. OpenAI makes ChatGPT. They recently gave one of their AIs, or the founder gave one of his AIs, an order to shut down. And the AI said no. It refused to shut down. There have been other AIs have been found to have been building backups of themselves without telling the so-called bosses, the humans. One AI backed itself up into the dark web, where the creators don't know where all the copies are. Some are encrypted. What do you think Satan thinks of this? I think he looks at this as human beings making a fateful decision we do from time to time of being our own gods. The great news is the God of the universe isn't surprised at all. I just thought we should all think about this and pray about it. We'll come back on The Disciples View. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. We'll get to the Tower of Babbling in a personal note. Got a couple of cleanup items, we've come to call them here in this segment. And we'll get to those before we get to any of that. Elon Musk was asked about the New York Times in the Oval Office the other morning.
The president mentioned that you had to deal with all the slings and arrows during your time at Doge. There's this
New York Times. Some of the media organizations in this room were the slingers.
Well, so there is a New York Times report today that accuses you of blurring the line between.
Is the New York Times, is that the same publication that got a Pulitzer Prize for false reporting on the Russiagate? Is it the same organization?
I gotta check my Pulitzer counter.
I think the judge just ruled against New York Times for their lies about the Russiagate hoax. And that they might have to give back that Pulitzer Prize. That New York Times, let's move on.
It's a good answer. It's a good answer. And I know there was all this concern, or I think fake concern, that the president supposedly banned the AP. He can't ban the AP. He simply made a decision to have other media entities cover his White House in person. New York Times can still cover. They can still write whatever they want. But led to some entertaining moments. And I'm not a big popcorn and politics guy. I don't like politics. It's a necessity to talk about because government has metastasized into our entire lives and because there are more godly forms of government than not. But this is pretty entertaining. The Daily Caller White House correspondent Regan Reese asked Elon Musk a pretty easy question.
Mr. Musk, what do you think would be easier, colonizing Mars or making the government efficient?
It's a tough call, but I think colonizing Mars and making life multiplanetary is harder. And as I said, we do expect to achieve over time the $1 trillion of savings. We can't do it in like a few months, but if you say by the official end of DOGE, which the president may choose to extend, is the middle of next year. Say by the middle of next year, with the support of the president and Congress, could we achieve $1 trillion of savings? I think so. We're on track to do so.
Do you have faith that Congress is going to do so much? Thank you, Mr. President.
Again, good answer. And incidentally, I don't see any excitements uniting Republicans to make even brain dead easy cuts to National Public Radio. They're about to have an argument about $9 billion in spending cuts. We have an actual debt, if you count off the books debt
of about $300 trillion. If you count unfunded liabilities, it's not $30 trillion. And the White House is expected to submit a $9.4 billion rescission bill to Congress, asking the legislative branch to approve spending cuts to things like public broadcasting and USAID. Our official debt is $36 trillion, almost 37. And there's a whole bunch of Republicans who are going to say no to this. If this doesn't happen under this president who's willing to go this far to try to make cuts, and albeit there's things he wanted to increase spending on in terms of defense, etc., it's not a perfect bill by any regard. It's far too big and it's not at all beautiful. But President Trump has surfaced more fraud, and I'm talking about infrastructure fraud, meaning fraud developed into the infrastructure of government, not tracking payments, is 100% proven to get fraud. If the Republicans cannot align under this, then we need to understand something, I think. That is that God intends to have the United States collapse financially. When? I don't know. But if we can't stop it here, mathematically speaking, we reach a point at about the $50 trillion debt level where it's not going to happen, where our interest payments on the debt are more than our income. Even if you seize all the money of the top 1% and then the next top 1% and then the next top 1%, in other words, everybody. So let's pray that it doesn't get to that point. And let's also know that if it does, it's because it's God's design. And we're told not to worry. All right, because God created the sparrows in the field, and do we not matter more than the sparrows of the field? They don't worry about where they're going to sleep, what they're going to eat. So let's remember that, please. It's frustrating sometimes when we cover politics to do this, but it is a tradition on the show that we thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with our feature called the Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents the Tower of Babbling.
It is not a criminal violation to enter the country illegally. It's not a criminal. It's a crime. It's not a crime.
Three sound bites in today's Tower Babbling. Brian Stelter claimed that the Wall Street Journal story on Biden's mental decline was fake news.
But Sinclair, they didn't do any original reporting. They didn't follow up. They didn't do any work. They didn't do any of their own work at all. They just ate it up and then they regurgitated what the Wall Street Journal said. That's the worst form of so-called journalism out there. It's not really news at all. And yeah, that's my biggest complaint about this.
Yeah.
They said this could be an election decider, Joe Biden's age. Well, that's true if the media obsesses over it and ignores Trump's flaws. That will be true if the media puts its fists on the scale.
So to be clear, Joe Biden's age was never an issue, not to anybody, ever, not once. Brian Stelter knew he was lying when he said that. He was spinning, he might say. But the Wall Street Journal was right. We all saw it. But Brian Stelter's job is to do that. His job is to spin. His job is to get commented upon. Because he says things like that that are just, at the best case, is trolling. The worst case is he's participating in trying to rig an election. Second soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. Washington Post columnist Megan McArdle asked Jake Tapper if the media would have better covered a president's mental decline should it have been present in Trump.
Jake, I would like to ask you, do you think we would, that the media would have gotten this story sooner if it was Trump?
I don't, actually, because these issues of health are so sensitive to talk about and to report. And as you say, you know, yes, we saw weird moments of Joe Biden. We also see weird moments, and they're different. They're not the same issue. They're not acuity issues, but we see weird moments of Donald Trump.
Again, Jake Tapper, no one was talking about health. Again, it was the mental decline that was obvious to all of us. And Jake, I'm just led to believe it was obvious to you. You just chose to pretend it wasn't there. Last soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. Conveniently enough, finally, here's a supercut of the media telling you President Trump had early onset dementia.
People closest to Donald Trump during the campaign saying he's got early stage of dementia. He repeats the same stories over and over again, and not a single person who works for him doesn't know he has early signs of dementia.
People are saying we have to talk about his health now before it's too late.
Some thought he might be suffering from early Alzheimer's.
It makes me recall people who are in the early stages of Alzheimer's.
There have been reports that the president has forgotten names, that he's repeating himself. Are you ruling out things like early onset Alzheimer's? Are you looking at dementia-like symptoms?
Yeah, that was from way back in the day that they were asking this about President Trump. So Jake Tapper wasn't just not correct. He refused to remember the very recent past from his colleagues in the Mockingbird media. And that's a wrap for today's Tower Babbling.
Can men get pregnant?
Mr. Chairman, yes.
Define what a woman is.
Mr. Chairman.
Yeah.
There are people who identify women as different genders who are capable of getting pregnant. That is my position on this. I am not going to feed more into the bigotry of that question.
That was the Tower of Babylon on A Disciple's View.
On a personal note today, I just had an incredible experience this past weekend. And it was a surprise. I didn't know I was going to do it. In fact, physically, it was probably the worst possible day for me to do it. But I was really glad I did it. I got an opportunity to go hiking with a very dear friend. And we went to a place called Scotsman Peak in Idaho. I think I mentioned this the other day. But I wanted to give you some detail on it because, man, it was just such a reminder of God's grandeur and what he has built for us and what he's created for us. Sometimes I think there's a reason it's hard to get to places like that. So the reason was a surprise. I just saw Ben in the gym and he just mentioned, hey, I'm going up to Scotsman. Come with me. So I said, okay, let me ask my wife and see what we have planned. And my wife and I had kind of a special activity plan. We got a new bed we saved up to get, and it's made with Idaho woods and these logs. It's a very beautiful bed. So that was being sent or put together in the house. And so we were planning for that. And she graciously said, yeah, you haven't seen Ben in a long time, so go. So we took this hike. We drove up north from where we're at, up above Sandpoint, Idaho. And got to the trailhead. It got about 9 o'clock in the morning or so. And there were probably, I think we counted 9 vehicles there. And so we began the walk up, which is just under a 4,000 foot walk. And that's in about 3.75 miles. So if you're not an experienced hiker, that's pretty steep. And it's pretty consistently steep. And there's some switchbacks. But towards the end, you also hit a snow cap. So the snow was super high. We were walking on top of trees and sometimes falling through. And stupidly, I didn't take my cleats. And stupidly, I don't use hiking poles. Although after this trip, I'm going to start. Ben is far younger than me. He's in far better shape, far more athletic, stronger, all those things. And he uses hiking poles. And he graciously let me borrow his, probably because he was sick of waiting for me or because he's a good friend. He took his little boy. This little boy is below the age of one. He was so good. But something happened up there with the little man and one of God's creatures, and it just speaks to me about God creating all of us. It speaks to me of the garden and the new heaven and the new earth. On the way, we talked to some people. There were a couple of women who were taking a break on the trail, and they were eating some Pringles chips. Not great nutritionally, but man, filled with salt. Great way to get your salt content. And at that point, you're going to burn. We burned about 2,000 calories on that hike. So eat what you want. So we were joking with them a little bit. And they said, oh, we'll have this conversation when we catch you. And we laughed. We went up to another group of women. And they were all women. They had their son with them. It was like 6 or 7 women. And I tried a lame joke. Didn't land. Thought it'd be funny. Just walked up, oh, ladies, we're glad to see you. The little baby needs changing. We don't know how to do it. That no one laughed. I'm joking. So when we got to this snowpack and we began to walk through this and trudge through it, and I was using Ben's hiking poles, we were at about the 4,000 foot level, not quite yet, about a quarter mile to go to the summit. And all of a sudden, Ben said, oh, gosh, oh, wow. And he was standing maybe 15 feet from three majestic mountain goats. And as Ben said, they look a little rough this year because they have their winter coat is starting to come off. So part of them looks like a summer goat. So the rest of them has the fur thick on them. It's usually their fronts because I guess they can get that off themselves easier. But they're standing, and they couldn't care less that we were there. And there's a warning sign as you enter the park, and it says something to the effect of, do not come within 100 feet of the goats. Do not let them lick you. Do not let them lick your sweaty gear. And yeah, I understand. You don't want the goats to get sick. But I have to tell you secretly, if a goat had come to lick me, I think I probably would have paid the fine. I really don't want to put the goat at risk. But to be licked by a mountain goat? So we got up top, and I told Ben, man, you know what? I want to tell you that I have summit fever. I need to get to the summit, but my legs are toast. See, I'd just done Murph, the iconic CrossFit workout, 2 days before that. And I did it with a weighted vest, and I nailed the time I wanted. So I have an excuse. Plus, I'm 58. Plus, I was, you know, those are my excuses. So Ben very kindly let us sit there for about a half an hour, maybe 40 minutes. And we thanked God together in a prayer for the view. I think there's a reason it's hard to get to. Because having gotten there, you think about how hard it would be to make. And then this happened. Ben was changing his little boy. Again, he's below the age of one. I don't think he'll be one in jail. He'll be one on August 24th. And the little boy was crying because he was cold. And a big male goat, we think it was a billy goat, came over the ridge, cocked his head, and walked down with this look on his face as if, what is that? Realizing it was a small human, he kind of shook his head and walked away like, wow, they come in that size as well? The God who created us gave us things, not just to steward, but to get joy from. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Until God gives us permission to speak again together, may His peace, which transcends all understanding, wash over you and your families. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman, and this has been A Disciple's View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.